I'm going to call this meeting of the House Committee on Veterans and Emergency Preparedness to order for, what is today, May 7th, 2015. And we'll start by opening a public hearing. So are we starting to go in this order?
We can serve.
I don't see.
You're right to 779.
So we'll do that. Okay. So I'll open a public hearing first on Senate Bill 779. Mr. Administrator?
Mr. Chairman, committee members, Senate Bill 779 requires Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife to study treating uniformed service members as residents for recreational licensing purposes and report to the legislature by September 15, 2016. This measure sunsets January 2nd, 2016.
Welcome, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Vice Chairs, members of the committee. My name is Alan Olson. I'm a senator representing Senate District 20. This is a spur-of-the-moment thing to come out and testify on this. I carried the bill on the floor, but it's a good opportunity to allow our veterans, our service people, to take opportunity of our wildlife and our forests and our hunting and our fishing. And we ask that they provide just a study to figure out how we can do this. Now, I know Fish and Wildlife will talk about the fact that if we give them free licenses, there'll be some federal money lost. Mm. So perhaps maybe you might want to entertain an opportunity to charge $1 or $5, a minimum fee, so we can still collect the federal monies. But the fact is, we have these people come to our state, and they're providing a service to us as service members, and it would be nice to offer them the opportunity to go out and enjoy the outdoors without having to pay full bore. And that's what we're asking for in this bill, and I'd like to see it move forward if possible. And I'll take any questions.
Great. Any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I see the director in the back, and he's going to think I was sleeping on the job in Coastal Caucus when we did talk about this, but there was a discussion, and I just forgot what the answer was, and it was what you just said. If you don't have, they count on number of licenses more than on the money, but what is that minimum amount in order to not lose the federal money?
Chair Lively, Vice Chair Boone, I'm not certain what it is, and you can get that from them, but I think if there's, because we have a bill also, or have moved a bill that charges the seniors again, it was a $5, $6 charge, so that we could collect the federal funds. And we don't want to give up the federal funds. So a minimum charge to the service people would be appropriate so that we can still collect the federal funds to do our due diligence.
Okay. Any other questions? Doesn't look like it. Thank you, Senator, for coming and testifying.
Thank you very much.
Sure. Anybody else who wishes to offer testimony on Senate Bill 779?
Can we get ODF&W to come up and answer the question?
Yes, it looks like maybe we can. Yeah. Thank you.
He's getting escorted.
Welcome.
He's almost my senator, but I'm just outside the district. Good morning. For the record, my name is Kurt Melcher. I'm the director at the Department of Fish and Wildlife, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
So it seems like the question is...
Been asked. Yeah? Question's been asked.
Yeah, the question
so
is
the minimum.
What if there's some kind of minimum that...
Absolutely. Mr. Chair, and Representative Boone, Vice Chair Boone had it exactly correct. When we receive federal dollars in the form of a match for any license that we sell, licenses that we give away free do not qualify for that federal match, whether it be on the hunting side or on the fishing side. Under the Code of Federal Regulations, there is basically a minimum charge of $5 or $6 that can be used to qualify for that federal match. So, as Vice Chair Boone mentioned, we have a proposal to charge $6 for the Pioneer license. Mm. It allows us then to qualify for $20 in federal match.
That's what I wonder. So $20 for the six, Representative Esquivel.
So in other words, if you gave it away for free, you wouldn't gain anything or lose anything. That's what you're telling me.
Chair Lively, Vice Chair Esquivel, if we give it away for free, any license that we give away for free, we do not qualify for that federal match. So to the extent that some of these individuals may already have licenses, then we are losing. To the extent that some of them don't, then you're right, we're not gaining or losing.
Okay, because I want to clarify this. So what he's saying is if you didn't have a license, you came to the state of Oregon as a military personnel, you purchased a license, or were given a license for free, Oregon's not losing anything because they didn't have anything in the first place. Is that correct?
Chair Lively, Vice Chair Esquivel, if they had not been here or were not intending to come here or have not already come here, then that's correct. But there is certainly a contingent of military members that already come here, whether they be as residents or non-residents. And I would point out that we've done a number of things over the years to recognize the service of our veterans and our active duty military. In 2013, we had a bill here that passed and was signed by the governor that extended the resident fee structure to all members of the uniformed military service, not just the residents. So they could be individuals who have never set foot in the state of Oregon, and they now qualify for the resident fee structure. We have developed a program whereby active duty military who get leave time on short notice can literally go into our field offices and get a tag over the counter outside of the controlled hunt draw process. So we've taken a number of steps to really make things better for these folks.
Okay.
Yeah, in my opinion, I think that these military personnel, as long as they're in the military, they should go into any state and be able to purchase any license at a residence rate. Doesn't matter what state it is. That's my feeling on it.
Sure. And Chair Lively, Vice Chair Esquivel, we are the only state that does that.
Does that.
I know. Yeah, only state. Every state offers residence fees to military who are deployed in their state, or military folks who maintain residency in the state, even if they're stationed out of the state. But Oregon is the only state that offers resident fee structure to all military, irrespective of their residency.
Sure. Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Director, was the fiscal indeterminate on this, or has there been a fiscal or what do you estimate the cost to the agency to be?
Sure. Chair Lively, Representative Huffman. We have a very minimal fiscal on this, so it's in the minimal category. I mean, there's some, anytime you do a quote-unquote study, there's some fiscal, but it's in the minimal category.
Okay. Any other representative?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Kurt, do you have any idea how many have taken advantage of that free, just the residential costs? Aren't Oregon residents.
Yeah, Chair Lively and Vice Chair Boone, I do not off the top of my head, but we certainly have those statistics available in our licensing system. Okay. And we do intend, I will add, that we do intend to actually market that to through military channels, because I think largely most non-residents don't know. Yeah. And if they're stationed at Fort Bragg, right now, high probability that they don't even know they can come to Oregon and hunt on the resident fee structure.
Very good. Anything else?
I'd be curious, and maybe you can just email us approximately what this fiscal is. And the reason I say that is because your budget, if my memory serves me correct, is not in a very strong position.
Sure. Chair Lively and Vice Chair Esquivel, we're happy to do that.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else? Then thanks for coming out.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Anybody else who wishes to testify? Thank you, Senator. Not, I'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 779 and open a public hearing on SCR 12. Mr. Administrator.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, SCR 12 memorializes Lance Corporal Nathan Windsor. Lance Corporal Windsor of Newport, Oregon, was killed by insurgents near Fallujah, Iraq on March 11, 2007. He proudly served as an infantryman assigned to 2nd Battalion, 7th Marine Regiment, 1st Marine Division, 1st Marine Expeditionary Force. He was 20. His decorations include the Navy Marine Corps Purple Heart Medal, the Iraqi Campaign Medal, Combat Action Ribbon, National Defense Service Medal, Global War on Terrorism Service Medal, and Sea Service Deployment Ribbon. Senate concur in Resolution 12 honors him.
Okay. Do you want to? Senator? Welcome.
Thank you, Chair Lively, and Vice Chair Boone, and members of the committee. I'm State Senator Tim Canope from Central Oregon. The district includes Bend, Redmond, Tumalo, and Sun River. And I was contacted by Robert Windsor, Nathan's father. He lives in Redmond currently. And Nathan was, I think, one of our heroes. And his father wanted to name a section of Highway 101 after him. And as you know, in order to do that, you have to have a resolution that has been adopted by the legislature to do that. And I told him I would help him get that done. And so with the assistance of Senator Roblin and Representative Gomberg and Wisnett, and hopefully this committee as well, we would like to accomplish that. And you know, if you read the resolution and you see what Nathan did, I mean, basically, you know, this was March 11, 2007. They were in Fallujah, and he was at the a point man in for the first squad of his platoon, and he was known to have good combat instincts, and he was able to, just prior to his death, to warn of an ambush, and he ensured that he was the only casualty that day. So he saved his platoon. And so we would love to give his father the opportunity to, you know, find a section of 101 to name after Lance Corporal, because I think, you know, recognizing the people that have given the ultimate sacrifice for us and for our freedom is something that we should make sure that those honors continue, and that these young men and women are not forgotten in our society. And I think this is just one of the ways we can do that. And so I would urge your passage of the concurrent resolution.
Representative Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Canope, I don't know if he had a favorite part of 101, but I have quite a large piece of 101, and his family and Nathan would be most welcome to find a spot on 101 in my district, and I'd make sure it happens well tended.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Vice Chair Boone. I know that he would love to work with the ODOT and you know, those who are interested to find the right spot. And so I'm sure he'd be happy to take you up on that offer.
Okay. Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For those that don't pay attention to my bills and where they're going, and Senator Canope's bill, House Bill 2036 is on the way to the Senate floor. I don't know if we have the carrier in our midst or not. I hope so. I should have specified that.
Chair Lively, Representative Huffman, I don't know that that's come out of committee yet. Has it?
Yes.
Has
it? This week.
Okay, so I don't know if I'm the assigned carrier or not. I assume that I'm not, because I haven't heard, but who knows? I could get a surprise. You
know? maybe Chair Boquist wanted to do it. But as a reminder, in 2036, the Veteran Highway Dedication Bill, Highway 101 will be appropriately the Gulf War, Afghanistan, Iraqi War Veteran Memorial Highway, so it would be very fitting for the Lance Corporal to be positioned right in there.
Would be. That's great. Any questions or comments by any other members? Thank you, Senator, for
Thank you for your time and consideration. Appreciate it.
Certainly. Anybody else who wishes to offer testimony on HCR 12? Okay. Close the public hearing on HCR 12, SCR, this is the House, the Senate, and I'll open the public hearing on Senate Bill 781A. Mr. Administrator?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Senate Bill 781A exempts the longstanding associations of current or former members of the armed forces, as specified, from operation of insurance code, requires exempt associations to provide certain documentation and records to the Department of Consumer and Business Services, and permits DCBS to require an increase in capital or surplus. This requires specified notice issued with exempt associations policies, declares an emergency effective on passage.
Very good. Mr. Powell, are you going to start?
Yeah, I am. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is John Powell. Before you, representing the Navy Mutual Aid Association. With me is Lauren Bloom, general counsel of the association. I can assure you there's not a question that you could ask of her that she can't answer when it comes to this legislation. The bill comes to you from the Senate Veterans Committee unanimously, and a unanimous vote on the floor, 28-0 with two absent. And we're hoping that the bill can fly through the House as well. With that, I'm just going to let Lauren Bloom explain the bill and a little bit about Navy Mutual Aid Association.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I feel like I've really been given one heck of a build-up here. I hope I can meet your expectations. The Navy Mutual Aid Association was formed in 1879 to provide high-quality, low-cost life insurance, financial education, and benefits assistance to military members and their families. We have been performing that terribly important function ever since and doing it very well. Until a couple of years ago, end of 2013-2014, we were operating in the state of Oregon under the impression that Navy Mutual was exempt from insurance regulation under a provision in the existing Fraternal Code of Oregon that exempts associations whose members are engaged in hazardous occupations. We were contacted by the insurance division, who asked us to explain our presence in the state. We did so, and the insurance division asked us to come to the legislature to seek clarification of our status here in Oregon, as we have in several other states. So we are here today. Senate Bill 781A was developed in consultation with the Insurance Division. We understand that they have no objection to its passage. And what it does is establish an appropriate regulatory structure for a nonprofit, member-owned, tax-exempt mutual aid association that was formed prior to modern insurance regulation to continue to provide excellent products and services in your states. SB 781 is at least as rigorous as exemptions that we've received in eight other states, and more than most. Those exemptions have been in place for over 20 years in the Commonwealth of Virginia and other states since then. There has been no flood of problems. We operate very carefully. We have a not-for-profit board of directors made up of distinguished military veterans who care deeply about military families. It is very limited in scope, applies only to us and to the American Armed Forces Mutual Aid Association, which was formed at the same time as Navy Mutual and with whom we share a similar culture. It will allow us to continue to provide outstanding services to veterans in Oregon with a perfectly transparent and unquestionable legal status, which is exactly what we want. We want to stay on good terms with this state. So I want to point out that we provide service like nobody else. Our association has no aviation clauses, no hazardous duty clauses, no travel clauses. We will allow a Navy SEAL to take a full $1 million worth of coverage from the Gulf. And in fact, if you'll remember that helicopter accident a few weeks ago in Florida, one of the brave warriors on that helicopter was one of our members, a married man with a child. And we were very proud to pay out on that policy. Frankly, once people in the military are married and have kids, SGLI is great, but it's not enough. We have paid out over $3.5 million in benefits in Oregon in the last 2 years. We'd like to continue to do so. And so we request passage of Senate Bill 781A.
Any questions? We appreciate your taking the time.
I appreciate the committee's time, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Sure.
On your board, you told me you had a couple admirals on there.
We do.
You need to put a chief on there so you can get done.
We've done that too. Our board is made entirely of very well-respected senior enlisted and flag officers from the various sea services. So I report to a retired rear admiral. Our board chair is a rear admiral. We have generals from the Marine Corps. We've got a Coast Guard admiral. We've got a great group.
Good. We're glad. any other questions? Great. Thank you very much for coming to testify. Anybody else who wishes to offer testimony on Senate Bill 781A?
That's a good bill.
Doesn't look like it. Okay, I'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 781A. We have a couple other things we need to discuss. One of those, just for note, that if I have this correct, 70 years ago today, the Germans...
Yes.
Surrendered at the end of that part of World War II, so that's pretty significant. My father's 90 years old, and he was one of those there at that time, and so...
Wow.
Well, he was real young, too. Wasn't
he was. He, when he was 17
he's
years
still
old.
Living.
Wow. Yeah.
He's living now.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
Wow.
So two more things, maybe three more things. So I sent around, did people get a chance to look at the draft memo to Ways and Means with our priorities?
I did, and I think I answered too. Here it is.
Oh, you did? Well, you may have answered, and I didn't read it.
This phone has been acting up, and it may or may not open the... there it is.
It may not open,
okay.
Though.
It did. Okay.
If people have suggestions, questions, before I send that off?
That was good.
I do. I have that. And I hate to keep harping on it.
Go right ahead.
There are...
Feel free to harp.
I can harp. There's several bills that are actually Senate bills that would be going to Ways and Means. And I'm wondering, can we weigh in on those too?
Yes,
or not?
We can.
But we haven't seen them yet over here.
Okay, but we
so
can.
We will later.
And we will.
Okay.
Yeah. Because in fact, when we were at the speaker, we talked about that, that she'd appreciate had to get those. We
okay,
also
cool. All right.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you.
Yeah. And just as part of that conversation, and we have a... So we checked with... Legislative Council about being able to combine the task force. And so obviously that's it's not a quick task. They've never been asked before about combining for a task force. So it was a good question to ask. Honestly, I think what most of us would understand, we could do it if we took another bill and had a broad relating clause where you could put them in there. So that doesn't mean we couldn't yet try to do that, but that appears to be there is none of these have a broad enough relating clause that it looks like we can combine those.
Mr. Chair, have you asked Representative Evans if he has a bill with a relating clause task force?
I haven't, but do you?
I do not yet.
I planted the seed in the
hay. Hey, no, yeah. I mean...
I'll burn a priority if it would actually work, but I don't know... I mean...
Well,
I'm at the chair's discretion.
We can, we have to talk about that because maybe that would be.
Actually, I have a couple too.
Okay, so why don't we? Yeah. We're going to talk about doing that.
Okay,
Representative Evans.
I'm very open to that.
Right. Need you, Mr. Chair, just let me. Know.
Okay. So that would be because I put on there that we may yet try to do that.
Sure.
Okay. Thank you. But then he won't be the task force king if he's only got one.
I want to make sure. I want to do a little speech here on this because. Don't associate me with Evans' task force just because it's my bill.
Oh.
Okay? I just want to make that clear.
Fair enough.
And, Mr. Chair, somebody might want to check and just see what the potential ramifications are of that because it might be one of those that's land use and, whoa, you can drive a truck through it and everybody piles on. I don't know. Just a thought.
That's right. We'll have to ask that question. But
that happened to me one time.
But we'll ask that question and find out. We also discussed this with the speaker when we talked about that we were trying to see if there was some way to do that. So people were alerted to us doing that. So the other thing then, that briefly, right now we've tentatively scheduled Senate Bill 87 for the 19th. And so and in addition to having scheduled it, what we've done is asked Legislative Council to provide an opinion on current rules versus intent of the legislature, since that seems to be a question, and they've agreed to do that, and so we'll have a written opinion from Legislative Council before we meet to discuss that thing from their opinion on how the rules relate to what they interpret the intent was of the legislature. So they give us a place to start.
That's cool.
We're also still continuing to work on identifying people that want to testify or provide some input at that meeting. My goal will be not necessarily to go back and relive history, but to talk about how has it worked or didn't work, and if there needs to be tweaks or changes to it, because it doesn't make any difference how we got here. We're here.
Right.
And so... Representative Huffman.
I just had another thought, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
And since this is a veterans committee and maybe the descendants of Revolutionary War veterans, it would be important to include in the task force bill a task force to determine and then declare that the Dalles actually is the end of the Oregon Trail.
Oh, here we go.
Because for the benefit of the veterans' families that located there or took the river or the Barlow Road on to further points west, but not on the Oregon Trail, since it actually ended
in the Dalles.
But I think probably with Lewis and Clark.
Do you like how I tied veterans to that?
I did. You did a good job, I have to say.
Very.
Maybe you can put that into your task force thing somehow. I don't
yes,
know,
sir.
Representative Evans.
Good suggestion.
Because as pointed out on the floor, some people did go beyond the Dalles on education in Salem and Monmouth. However, they didn't go beyond the Dalles on the Oregon Trail.
Well, we can see.
How comes it taken us all these years to address that concern or that dispute?
Because we needed the descendant of Lewis and Clark.
Descendant? Heck, he was probably with them.
There you go. Well, and if you are going to bring Lewis and Clark into
here we go.
There we go.
See what you started.
I believe they took the Ford to Sea Trail and ended where you absolutely had to end.
I think that's true.
Or go ocean in view.
Make salt. And
okay. Things. Anything else to come before the committee? Let me see if I wrote anything else down here.
Nope. Chair, yes. just one thing. Tomorrow,
yes.
No task forces, but from 8 to 10:30 is the Military Family Appreciation Celebration here. Any member that happens to be here and wants to pop in, we will introduce, get a chance to talk to folks. Some may be your constituents. Most of the folks, I think, are from around the valley. There will be a ceremony at 10:30. I'm sorry, at 11. Out at the World War II Memorial. Chair Lively and Chair Boquist are going to be speaking. It's going to be small this year, but it's the first one since we really haven't done it for about 8 years. And looking forward to anybody that can participate.
And that's in room 50.
Room 50 downstairs, yes.
Okay. Anything else? I suppose some of you are leaving town, so I won't mention who that might
be. I am.
Okay, no further business?
I get to go home.
We're adjourned.
Nice, huh?
Yeah, I get to go home.
We're adjourned.
Nice, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, no further business?